Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
All right, we're being encouraged in Ephesians over these last few weeks. We are in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. And every salvation experience is unique and different, is it not? And yet, in a lot of ways, every salvation experience is the same. Because the Word of God tells us this morning that we are saved by God's grace. We were singing about God's amazing grace. We are saved because God reached down out of His grace and mercy and saved us. So in a lot of ways, our salvation experiences are similar. In 1792, there was a man who was deep in the swill of sin. He was in the middle of trepidation and degradation, and God reached down and saved this slave owner in 1792. And this man was so overcome by God's grace that he wrote these words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." That man's name was John Newton. And I want to tell you what, if you're born again, all of us could have written that song. And all of us ought to sing that song. God's amazing, amazing grace. Now, what we've got here in chapter 2 of Ephesians in verses 1 through 7 is really our spiritual biography. Okay? And well, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul describes our past, our present, and our future. And I've entitled the message today, and again, I'm dating myself, "This Is Your Life." How many of you remember or have seen some? They tried to update that thing a few years ago, and it just didn't work. But That's what Paul's talking about. This is your life. And he starts talking about our past and our present and our future. So if we can, could we honor God's word? I want to just read this fabulous passage of Scripture. One of you all may just shout when we get through this here. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, "And you," look at your neighbor and tell them, we're talking about you. "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God," let me say that again, "but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us all sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Woo-wee! What a passage of Scripture. David Fry, where are you? You're over here. Ask God to bless the word this morning.
Hey, brother.
We
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Paul immediately, through the Spirit of God, begins to talk about our life. This is your life. And he brings up our past. You know, I've said before, our past is something else. And the next time the devil brings up your past, just bring up his future. Isn't the devil good about yanking up our past? Well, the Apostle Paul brings it up here, and the first thing he reminds us of about our past is we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, let's unpack that. That was our condition before Christ came in and made us alive. What dead folks need not is not reformation. We don't need a code to do better. We don't need a new start. We need new. What dead folks need is what? Life. And that's what Christ did for us. He gave us life. He made us alive. And so, as a matter of fact, we weren't the only ones dead in trespasses and sin. All of human creation was dead in trespasses and sin. Now, the word death in the Bible means separation. Separation. Physical death is when the body is separated from the soul. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So you understand what physical death is. That's the separation between the soul. And then eternal death is when a human being is separated forever from God. Eternal death. And then we come to this thing called spiritual death. Folks who have died spiritually, which is all of us, our spirit died. What they need, they're dead in trespasses and sins. They need life. And so you've got these, friends, let me just kind of explain it like this. You remember the words that God spoke to Adam in the garden over there in Genesis chapter 1. He said, "Now, Adam, of all the trees in the garden, you can eat of any fruit of any tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day you eat of it, the day you eat thereof, you will surely..." Well, when Adam ate of that fruit, I've lovingly said, you know, it was Eve that ate us out of house and home. But she somehow persuaded Adam to get in the boat with her. And so when he ate, what happened? Did he die right then? His spirit died. His spirit died. Y'all with me so far? Adam lived to be 930 years old. But eventually, he died physically as well, right? And so, when the Bible says we are born into sin, and when we prove that we're sinners, when we choose to sin, and all of us are in the same boat, our spirit is dead. Now, every lost person is a walking dead man or dead woman. We're dead in our relationship to God. We're separated from Him because of sin. You see, sin is the man. It's the Cleopatra that haunts us. It's the Lady Macbeth that slays us. It is the Delilah that seduces us. Sin's our big problem, amen. And it causes us to be dead to Christ. And here's the deal. When Jesus was here, he was in the resurrection business. You remember he raised a little 12-year-old girl from death unto life. I mean, he raised her physically from the death. The young boy. And then you remember his best buddy Lazarus. He raised him physically from death unto life. And that's what Jesus is still doing today. He brings our dead spirits to life. He makes us alive in Him. And by the way, if you were dead in trespasses and sins, if you're lost this morning, Jesus Christ, based upon the Word of God and what the Spirit of God has done in my life, and when you look at the lives of others, Jesus can raise you from death unto life this morning. And that's what we need to see happen in Clarksville. You know what the answer to all this division and all this racism and all this horrible stuff, police brutality, all that, you know what the answer to that is? The gospel of Jesus Christ. He can raise people from death unto life. And saved folks ought to live different from lost people. What surprises me is not when lost folks act like lost folks. What surprises me is when saved people act like lost folks. Hello? Which leads me to say this. Our past not only involves death, being dead in trespasses and sins, but we were defeated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what our past was. We were defeated by what? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Isn't that what he said here? He said, verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Now, you may not realize this, but the world that we live in, the worldview that we have, it defeats us from time to time. And it's working against us. You know, the world says, don't worry, be happy. Right? I mean, get all you can, when you can, as soon as you can, and just it's all about you and your desires. That's what the world, John, 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so the world even comes against us and brings us down, just the ways of the world. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we're up against it, aren't we? Amen? And so we were defeated by the world. We were also defeated by the devil. Did you see that? Did you catch that? Who's he talking about here? In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, little s, who now works in the sons of disobedience. Who's he talking about there? That's right. Satan is the prince of the power of this air. I'm amazed at some folks, you know. We're in a battle. There is a spiritual war going on between good and evil. And who's behind all the evil? Satan is. I mean, principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. Our battle's against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. And Satan wants to steal your joy, kill your spirit, and destroy your life. He's a destroyer. He is our adversary. He is a master deceiver. He wants to take as many of us down and defeat as many of us as he can. And so at times, we are defeated by the evil one. But let me just go ahead. This is another sermon for another time. But Satan can only have as much power and authority over you as you let him have. He's been defeated. And he's mad as a hornet about it. And so he's going to take it out on us. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. So sometimes, and a lot of the time, even today, but our past tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and we were defeated by the world, the devil, and then there's one more, our flesh. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Watch this. Don't miss this. Verse 3, among whom also, now in the latter part of verse 2, we're called the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So the Bible word, when you hear the words the flesh, he's talking about our sin nature, our desires, our wants, that kind of stuff. You know, y'all, can I just say it like this? Sometimes the devil gets a little bit too much press. It's not always the devil's fault that we're defeated. Our own sinful nature causes us to make bad choices. Can I get a witness? You ever made a bad decision? Well, it may not have been Satan. It was us. Our own rotten, sinful, wicked flesh. Just to tell you how wicked our flesh is, our sinful old nature, when Jesus comes back to this earth, to this planet, to reign and rule for 1,000 years, who's coming with him? Two of you? We are, the church. And we're going to reign and rule with him. And best of all, Satan, you know what's going to happen to him for 1,000 years? He's going to be locked up in the bottomless pit. He's going to be incarcerated. Ooh, won't that be good? And really, it's going to be like a utopian society here during that. It'll be much like it was in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve. Jesus will reign and rule with a rod of righteousness. People will live long lives. Very little sickness and disease and death. But amazingly, people will be born during that 1,000-year period and they won't surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And at the end of that 1,000-year reign, who's released from the bottomless pit? And he will be able to lead a rebellion, one final revolt against the Lord. Now, he'll be defeated quickly. But that just goes to show you, Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Everything can be just right. Satan can't even be around. And our hearts, our flesh, it defeats us from time to time. And so we were defeated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Y'all hang in with me. It's going to get real good here in just a few minutes, okay? But our past was a mess. And then we were doomed for all of eternity. Did you catch the latter part of verse 3? He says, we're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Mercy. Most of us don't like to think about being sons and daughters of disobedience and children of wrath. We don't like to go there, do we? But brothers and sisters, that was our past. We were doomed for all of eternity. And if you're without Christ this morning, if you're watching online, you listen to the preacher this morning, listen to your pastor. Hell is a real place. It's just as real as heaven is. God created hell for the devil and his angels. But you see, if you are without Christ, you're still dead in your trespasses. You're still defeated by those three enemies. And you are doomed for all of eternity. One of these days, all of us, we're going to be graveyard dead, and only those who are in Christ, who've been made alive, are going to spend an eternity forever with God. And everyone who's not will be eternally separated from God in a place called hell. And I want to tell you how you miss hell and make heaven this morning. That's what we want. We want to see, don't y'all want to see everybody get what you've got and going where you're going? And so we were doomed for all of eternity. I'm sorry, y'all, I hate to dig up these old bones, but sometimes it's necessary to be reminded of just who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. That was our past. Okay? Dead. Our spirits were dead, dead in relationship to God. We were defeated by those three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we were doomed on our way to a devil's hell, forever separated from God. Are you ready to hear a little bit about our present? Four of you? Now we can stay with this negative stuff. I can roll with it, okay? Our present. Do you see those first two words in verse 4? Say them with me. But God. Oh, y'all can do so much better than that. But God stepped in to our past and into our present. And it describes God. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, made us alive together with Christ. And oh, by the way, by grace, you've been saved. Whoo, but God. Now, I love those two words because you see, my salvation is all about God. He came looking for me. I wasn't looking for him. What a change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Two things here in our present that the Word of God is talking about. Number one, we've been saved and we've been seated. Now, y'all need to kind of lean in because it's fixing to get really good, okay? I don't want y'all to miss this. He says, God is rich in mercy, and out of his great love with which he loved us. You see, we love him only because he first loved us. This deal, y'all know what mercy is, right? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. We deserved justice. We deserved punishment for our sin. I should have been the one who personally pays for my sin debt. But God stepped in and paid for all my sins. That's mercy. I did not get what I deserved. I deserved eternal separation from God, but he stepped in. You see, mercy, 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 mercy. He saves and no one else. Now, how many of you ladies have a portrait of yourself or your family hanging in your house? Are y'all ashamed of that or just, okay. There was a lady who always wanted a portrait of herself, and so she calls the photographer downtown and made an appointment to get a portrait. And so, he says, I tell you what, you come on such and such date and we'll take some photographs and we'll make a portrait of you. And she said, great. So he calls a couple of weeks later and she gets all dolled up. I mean, goes to the hairdresser, gets her hair done, gets made up and puts her makeup on. I was going to say mask, but I don't even want to go there either. So, and puts on some nice threads, looking sharp. And so she heads down to the studio and gets her pictures made in several different lightings and several different poses and all this stuff. And he says, okay, I've got everything I need. The photographer said, you go home and we'll call you when you come look at your portrait when it gets ready. And so about a month later, after she's wondering what in the world's happened, but he finally calls. So she gets in the car and rushes down to the studio. And he comes out behind the counter when she comes in and he says, here's your portrait. It's in a nice frame, big picture, And he gave it to her. He said, well, what do you think? And she looked at it and just stood there for a minute and then gave it back to him and said, this picture doesn't do me justice. And so the photographer looked at it, and then he looked at her, and then he looked at the portrait again. And then he looked at her and he said, lady, what you need is not justice, you need mercy. That is what God did for us. Mercy came a running like a prisoner set free past all my failures to the point of my need. And when I could not find mercy, mercy found me. Give somebody, well, you can't even give a high five right now, can you? Isn't that great news? But God, who was rich in mercy, first loved us. He came looking for me when I wasn't even looking for him and placed me under conviction and then reached down that long arm of grace and gave me what I didn't deserve. Now, grace is what? All right, mercy. Get this through. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, and grace is getting what we don't deserve. Okay? That's grace. So God, who was rich in mercy, saved us by grace, ran us down, and saved our soul. He made us alive together with Christ Jesus. Is there an amen in the house? Amen. And then he not only saved us, he has seated us. Now this is going to touch somebody here today. Look at verse 6. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, salvation is not a sick person getting well. It's a dead person coming to life. And then once a person is saved, he is seated, he or she is seated in heavenly. Let me ask y'all a question. Where is Jesus this morning? He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. And we are seated positionally with him. It's like we're already there. It's like we have been there for 10,000 years. That's the way God sees us. Oh, it gets even better. I am seated with Christ. He not only saved me, but he seated me with him in heavenly. Now, you remember where Paul was writing this letter from, right? A rat infested, a roach crawling, stinking, damp, dark, dirty prison cell. And yet, he's breathing heavenly air. You see, Paul understood, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Wherever Jesus is, that's where I am. Are y'all getting where I'm going with this? Some of y'all are not. So look at verse 22 in chapter 1. And he put all things under his feet. We are seated with him. When Jesus sat down, okay, all principalities and powers were made subject unto him. Everything has been put under him. He is on top of everything, and everything is beneath him. Can I get a witness? And because I'm seated with him, I'm on top of all things. Everything's beneath me. My circumstances, my situation, all my trouble, all my trials. I'm on top of all that. Let me tell you, tell somebody I'm living large. By your response, you're living small. Mercy me. He has seated us. And we are over all of these things that come against us. That's such a blessing for me. We're on top of all things. Now, I don't understand all of that completely, but I believe it. And anything that comes against me has been put under my feet because I'm sitting with Jesus. You go home and think about that. You go home and think about that, ponder that. And we'll start hearing shouts all over Montgomery County. That's our present. But what about our future? Well, I'm glad you asked. We touched on this a little bit last week, but here's where we're going to land this plane this morning on verse 7. Look at our prospects. Look at our prospects. Verse 7. That in the ages to come. Now, that word ages means eons. We're talking about eternity, future, way out there, okay? For in the ages to come, he, that's God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, in the ages to come, out in the future, God is going to show us off. That word show, to show, literally means to put on display. If y'all go over to Clarksville High School or any high school, you can walk in and fairly close to the office or maybe down one of the hallways, there'll be a big trophy case. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? I mean, and you'll see in that trophy case, on full display, the achievements, the exploits, the victories, the triumphs of the athletic department of that school. They're on display for everybody to see. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm sitting here looking at Donna Graves. Y'all ought to go see her trophy case. She was a whale of a basketball player. Did y'all know that? And she probably thinks she can still whip everybody in this room on the basketball court. But in the ages to come, God is going to put on display His grace and His kindness that's been given and shown to us. Now, how will that work, Pastor? Well, I'm not exactly sure how it'll work, but here's what I think. You and I are trophies of God's grace. We're trophies of His kindness. And every now and then an angel will want to come up. And you know, they're trying to understand this thing called salvation, the Bible says. And they'll ask the Lord, they'll say, give us, we want to see an example of your grace and your kindness. And here's what God will do. He'll look out and pick out any old saint and say, look over there. Look at Cal Hampton. Now he wasn't much down there, but look at him now. He's mine. He's a trophy of my grace. Looks like Jesus, doesn't he? And then look at old Carol Walker. Oh, she looked good down there, but man, she's really looking good. She's one of mine. She's a trophy of my grace. She looks like Jesus, doesn't she? And he'll just start going around and showing off his trophy case. His grace and kindness will be on full display. And Andrew, just in my mind, I'm thinking all of a sudden those angelic choirs of heaven will break out in the hallelujah chorus. Because God's showing off His grace and His kindness. For all of eternity, Martha, God's going to show off His trophies of grace. And you know what that says to me? What a wonderful future. What prospects we have to look forward to. This is your life. This is your life. Our past, dead, defeated, doomed. Our present, He saved us, He seated us. But oh, hallelujah, we've got a lot to look forward to. As the children of God, for all of the ages to come, we will shine brightly as trophies of God's grace and kindness toward us. What a life, amen? Bow your heads with me. Now, I am not even going to begin to assume that everybody in here has been made alive in Christ. One of the greatest harvest fields in Clarksville and Montgomery County in our nation is the church roll. Our church rolls are full of lost people. And I'll promise you, there's someone here today, right here, that's dead in trespasses and sin. Their spirit needs to come back to life. And only God can do that. And if you would be willing today, right now, to agree with God about your sin, if you're under some type of conviction about your sin, if you would confess, and that word means to say the same thing as, to agree with God that you're a sinner in need of His forgiveness, and by faith, trust Christ and what He did for you on the cross and in the tomb, and believing that He is alive forevermore, that He was raised from the dead, by calling on His name, just say, Lord Jesus, save me. He will do that right here, right now. I don't understand all that, but I believe it, because that's what the Scripture says. Would you just pray right there where you are? Lord Jesus, I'm not sure. I've got some kind of uneasy feeling. I don't know that I'm born again. I want to be born again, and I need to be born again because I'm a sinner. My sins have separated me from You. And I, right now, want to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I know He paid for all my sins. I believe Jesus is alive. Would You come into my heart and life today I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed that way online, or you prayed that way in this room, nobody's looking around. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. If you prayed that sinner's prayer for the first time, and only time you ever really need to mean business with God, and you believe God saved you right now, would you just slip your hand up in the air and wave it at me? Anybody? Just slip your hand up in the air and wave it at me. Nobody's looking around. Every eye's closed. Anybody? Anybody? All right. Here's what we need to do with that salvation. You're going to get sick and tired of hearing me say this, but brother, sister, He has given us this great salvation to praise His name, and we need to share it. We've got something that's better than the answer to COVID-19. We've got the cure for sin, and we need to share it. How many of you have a lost family member, a lost neighbor, a lost schoolmate, a lost friend, a lost spouse? Amen. There's hands all over the building going up. We have got to get the gospel to people. Father, during this time of response, show us, Lord, what we need. Who it is that needs the gospel, and give us the strength and the courage and the boldness to go to these dear people that need Christ, that they might be made alive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.